This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're tuned into a special podcast where experts from our newsroom will decode Budget 2020 for you. First up, Money Control's editor Santosh Nair will give an overall view of what the finance minister announced on February 1st. Here's what he has to say.
Right, Santosh, a big sell-off. Is the market overreacting?
Well, it's a combination of factors, as always. True expectations were running quite high ahead of the budget. Market was expecting that probably the government would announce some kind of a stimulus given the dire shape that the economy is in right now. So that certainly didn't happen. So that was one reason for the negative reaction. Also, globally, we are seeing a big sell-off because of the coronavirus epidemic in China. Yesterday, you had the Dow and Nasdaq sell-off steeply. So all these factors are weighing on sentiment. Foreign funds have pulled out over 1,000 crore in the last four trading sessions. Most likely, they would have been net sellers today also. And when there was nothing positive in the budget, I think that compounded the gloomy mood in the market, and that's why you saw the market selling off.
All right, Santosh. And okay, so now what is it that investors should look forward to?
Well, Jerome, looks like the downtrend could continue for some more time, purely on technical factors more than anything else. Not that the fundamentals of the economy have changed overnight. The market was looking forward to some big bang announcements, which didn't come through. But the bigger factor at play right now, global growth. And that could be affected in case the Chinese economy is hit, the growth there is hit by the coronavirus epidemic. So at this point, I would say that global factors have a bigger role to play. Usually the budget is forgotten in a few days. That's always been the trend. Okay. But if the sentiment globally doesn't recover, then you could see the downtrend intensify.
All right. And do you think there were any announcements that, you know, could turn around the economy a little faster?
So, Jerome, last year, the general feeling was that the estimates were very aggressive. And if you look at this year's projections, the estimates don't seem that aggressive. Also, if you see the economic survey yesterday, it's looking at a economic growth of anywhere between 6 to 6.5%.
Right.
So, a big upswing in the economy looks unlikely right now. So probably the buying interest that you started seeing in some of the mid-cap and small-cap names, that buying interest could ebb a bit. There was a feeling that the economy was beginning to bottom out and you could see a visible pickup over the next few quarters. But now looking at both the economic survey and the announcement in the budget, that doesn't seem all that likely. So that could temper sentiment a bit. But the bigger negative, what most players are saying, is that those who want to opt in for the revised tax slabs for personal taxes, they will have to give up exemptions.
Right.
Now, that could be negative for some segments like mutual funds or even insurers for that matter. You saw a big sell-off in insurance companies today.
Right.
Yes, because of this exemption, you do see some bit of forced saving. People are forced to put money. Now, if they're presented with the option of either taking money up front or locking it into products like insurance or mutual funds, there's a fear that they may prefer to have more cash
right.
directly in hand. Already,
right.
the savings rate in the economy has been steadily declining since 2014. So, that's one of the reasons you saw a big sell-off in insurance companies. Even mutual funds could get impacted to some extent if people don't decide not to put money in equity-linked savings schemes. So these are some of the negatives in the budget. The government has announced a lot of small steps, and given the fiscal constraints, it's only to be expected. There's no one big announcement that kind of can turn around. And even otherwise, it never works that way. You know, it's ultimately, if the economy has to regain momentum, it has to be a series of a lot of steps, you know, coming together.
Okay.
So to expect that, you know, through one or two announcements, the overall sentiment can be changed, I somehow don't buy that theory.
So that was Nair's take on the budget. Next, you will listen to Sakshi Batra in conversation with Deputy Executive Editor Gaurav Chaudhary as they talk about the impact of Nirmala Sitharaman's speech on the economy.
Thanks a lot, Gaurav, for joining in. Well, it's the big budget day. The budget is done and dusted. But the market reaction was disappointing, to say the least, because we also saw a 1,000-point cut on the Sensex today. So what did not go down well with the markets?
Well, markets, there are a couple of things that actually went against what the markets were expecting, or rather not expecting. One, the markets were the absence of an explicit fiscal stimulus, whether for infrastructure or real estate or a consumption stimulus, was something that the market went against seriously against market expectations. The markets were expecting a fiscal stimulus up front,
okay,
to be explicitly spelt out by the finance minister in her budget speech.
Right.
That did not come about. The second thing that the market is, has got the market worried is the government's rather bold move to actually go ahead and list life insurance corporation.
Yes.
And that is something that the market does not know how it's going to play out in the equity markets, and in a kind of implications that it might have, given the fact that it's a state-owned behemoth, and it could by far, all experts that we have spoken to have said, it could by far be the largest, India's most valued market listed company in terms of market cap. So, but without actually holding, and it has its investment spread all across the economy. So that is something that the market does not know what the implications could be at the broader level.
Right.
And the third thing that the markets were actually confused about is the nature of the individual income tax changes that the finance minister announced. And what she has presented people with an either or kind of an option. Either you continue with the existing rates and slabs are and continue to claim the deductions and exemptions, or you actually move on to the new rates and slabs, which are lower, presumably lower, but comes without any, without the applicability of any deduction or exemptions. That could end up complicating matters. That is what market experts say. And that is something that market likes clarity. Participants like clarity. So this lack of clarity is something that the markets did not take it well.
Right. Now, but this income tax reduction was big on the experts' expectation as well this time around. But now that it has come, do you think that it will actually pump the consumption demand right now, which is
lacking? That is the whole objective, it appears. But it also kind of gives an idea about which way income tax changes and rates would probably be going in the coming years. One would hope that this has come with a degree of finality. What it does tell you is that the government actually wants people and individuals and households to tilt in favor of spending rather than saving if a trade-off were to be made.
Yeah.
And if people actually move on to the new tax slabs and rates, and according to finance minister's calculations, anybody who's earning 15 lakh rupees annually or taxable income 15 lakh rupees would have to pay taxes, the tax outgo will be less by about 75,000 rupees. So it would be a net gainer of 75,000 rupees, assuming there are no deductions or exemptions claimed. Now, if that is the case, and if at a macro level, there are large number, thousands of people actually move on to the new tax system, and they end up spending these net gains from their tax outgo, it could spur the economy. But that needs to be seen, and how it plays out in the real market, the real economy, because that is it'll come with a degree of time lag, and if that has to play out as a trigger for boosting demand and eventually investment, I think that's still some distance away.
Right. But how do you read the fiscal deficit target of 3.8%? Now, markets were already factoring in some kind of a slippage, but was it expecting this kind of a slippage?
So that is something that the bond markets, I would believe, would take with a degree of trepidation.
Okay.
With a degree of unease also, because bond markets do not want the government to go out in the market and borrow more. In fact, government high government borrowing, which is which is nothing but the fiscal deficit, it actually crowds out private investment from the bank loan market, private borrowers from the bank loan market. And that ends up raising interest rates for private corporate borrowers and private individuals and corporate borrowers.
Yeah.
And that could turn out to be inflationary and could have various consequences so far as growth objectives are concerned. So that is something that bond markets and stock markets, market participants are not very comfortable with. And that is why this unease is showing up. 3.8%, given the level of revenue collections and the kind of GDP growth in the broader economy that we have been witnessing, is still, I would say, commendable. But having said that, this is the second successive year, 2021, that the government is going to actually, breach the fiscal deficit target. In fact, when the budget was presented in 2019, the government had said a fiscal deficit target of 3% for 2021.
Mm.
When the budget has been presented for this year, for next year, for 2021, the fiscal deficit budgeted estimates for fiscal deficit 3.5%, that's 0.5 percentage points higher than what the government had estimated only 7 months ago. That is something that will make many players uneasy.
Right. So according to you, which is the biggest takeaway for you in the budget and which is the biggest disappointment?
The biggest takeaway clearly is the decision to disinvest LIC and get it listed. And
right.
as also the individual income tax rates and changes that the finance minister has announced. It might appear a little complicated at this point, but I think the intent is in the right direction. At least directionally, we know which way the government wants to go. That is something that is a carryover from the to-do list. We know how corporate income tax rates were, cut at one sweep outside of the budget. So this is at least given the direction that the government wants to simplify tax rates, even if it may not have turned out to be as simple as the intention may have been. Mm-hmm. And the decision to list LIC, while it may have, it may have upset or made market participants uneasy, what it does tell you is that it also brings, if you look at it positively, it also brings in an element of transparency into LIC's operations. LIC has always believed to be some kind of a handmaiden of the government in power, and which many governments are believed to have used LIC for various kinds of investment and disinvestment purposes and objectives. Once LIC gets listed, all those will become very transparent. In fact, the red herring prospect of LIC will be very interesting to watch, because the kind of disclosures that LIC will have to make because it will be listed is something which is a good thing, given the size of LIC and its operation across India's industrial landscape.
Right. Now, in the end, I want to ask you, beyond the headlines, is this budget eventually going to be pro-growth? And in the first glance, does it also take us closer to the vision of $5 trillion economy?
That is the whole idea. And what the finance minister said, that the government remains committed to turning into a $5 trillion economy by 2024-25. Whether that will be met or not is still, we have to take a call, we have to see 4 years from now. But the multipliers the force multipliers for turning India into that, bringing India closer to that level is clearly in place, at least so far as focus is concerned. Infrastructure clearly is going to be one primary vehicle that needs to be constantly kept in focus. And this is what the budget, at least in terms of mentions, is doing. The government's commitment to the national infrastructure pipeline projects, which is worth 102 lakh crore, and the kind of detailed finance blueprint that has been laid out ever since the project was announced, is something that the government believes is achievable. And I think in that respect, the government believes that infrastructure is the vehicle on which the broader economy and the real economy will have to ride to reach the $5 trillion economy. But whether this particular budget is going to be growth oriented or not, the government believes that we are nearing bottoming out of this current slide. That could be a number of factors will have to be played to basically turn around the Indian economy, which is caught in a crippling deceleration. That one of the factors obviously is to boost demand. The government believes that these income tax changes will boost demand.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see whether it does or not. But infrastructure clearly has to be one of the main vehicles that is going to help the turnaround be more rapid.
Up next, Sakshi Batra and Money Control's markets editor Kshitij Anand discuss why the stock markets fell after the budget speech.
Good evening, Kshitij, and thanks very much for joining in. Well, the big budget is done and dusted, but post the budget speech, we actually saw the markets give a thumbs down to the budget. In fact, we've seen one of the sharpest ever cuts that we've seen post a budget speech. So why was that, and what were the big reasons that put off the market sentiments?
Well, good evening, Sakshi, and good evening, listeners. Well, the Finance Minister, Nirmala Sitharaman, budget 2020 actually failed to cheer D Street as market witnessed its biggest fall on the budget day in the past 11 years. That is according to a CNBC TV 18 data. Now, both Sensex and Nifty posted their biggest single day fall in nearly 5 years. In fact, Nifty Bank posted the second biggest one day fall ever. And the Nifty Midcap Index slipped nearly 500 points, its biggest one day fall in 16 months. In fact, Sensex was down by nearly 1,000 points, while Nifty 50 plunged over 300 points on the budget day. Investors' wealth as per average market capitalization of the BSE listed company was down by, you could say, around about 3.5 odd lakh crores at this point in time. Now, sectorally, the biggest loser was realty, followed by capital goods, industrials, public sector, finance, and metal indices, while IT index was the lone gainer. In fact, Nifty Bank plunged 3.3% or 1,026 points, which were weighed down by losses in RBL Bank, SBI, Bank of Baroda, ICICI Bank, and IDFC First Bank. Top Nifty gainers was Nestle India, Tech Mahindra, HUL, and TCS, while in terms of losers, Z Entertainment, HDFC, Tata Motors, and ITC were the top Nifty losers.
Right. Now, apart from this, which were the biggest talking points from the budget, really, for markets especially?
Well, actually, you know, if you look from the expert's point of view, then budget was actually below par and uninspiring, you could say that.
Okay.
In fact, the need of the hour was much more than what budget delivered. Income tax changes were positive, but the additional riders disappointed the street. That's what most experts are suggesting at this point in time. Now, the markets have reacted negatively to the budget, mainly due to disappointments on account of non-abolition of LTCG, which was widely expected this time around, confusion about the impact of DDT removal and taxing dividends in the hand of recipients. Although DDT is exempted from the corporate, so definitely that's a big thumbs up for corporates for the dividend, but it is taxed in the hands of recipients at this point in time. Also, the alternative provided to individuals for lower rate of tax, provided they do not claim exemptions or deductions, did not seem too attractive. That's what most experts are also suggesting at this point in time. Well, tweaking investment limit for FPIs and corporate bonds will help our currency. Now, that's a positive move from the budget. According to market expectation, the fiscal deficit in FY20 was pegged at 3.8%, which was also in line with market expectations, and 3.5% for FY21. Now, this is something which is largely dependent on the stake sale of LIC,
right?
Because otherwise, you know, the government might not be able to, you know, sort of get the 3.5% mark for the next fiscal. Abolition dividend distribution tax, that's a, you know, you could say a positive news, but revenue foregone on dividend distribution tax were around about 250 billion. Proposal to divest LIC via IPO, that's a big news. And FPI limit and corporate bonds to be raised to 15% from 9%, that is also something which is positive. To float new debt ETF comprising primarily of gilts is something which is also positive news. But at the end of the day, I think markets were not, you know, you could say that did not like the way the budget was framed at this point in time. In fact, it required more than out-of-the-box thinking from the finance minister.
Right. Now, apart from this, Kshitij, could you really help us to understand how did the broader indices perform in terms of sectoral indices? Where was the maximum action seen in today's trading session? I'm sure most of the indices must have been in the red. So what was the kind of deep action that we have seen over there? And in terms of stocks, where was the long or the short buildup formed and the volume spike seen?
Right. Well, sectorally, realty index was down by 8%, followed by the capital goods index that fell 4.8%, and the infrastructure index was down by 4%. Now, IT index was the lone gainer. In fact, it was up 1.2%. Volume spike of more than 100% was seen in ITC, MFSL, and ICICI Prudential, while short buildup was seen in stocks like Coal India, Power Grid, ONGC, LIC Housing Finance, and NMDC.
All right. Now, apart from this, again, Kshitij, there were a whole host of other stocks that were in action on the back of news flows as well. Let's start off with ITC, which fell about 7% after the excise duty was hiked on cigarettes and tobacco products in the budget. Apart from this, insurance companies slipped by up to 12% as the budget print had no IT exemptions there. Realty shares also ended lower and was one of the top sectoral losers, just like how you pointed out, in the absence of any budget sops. Now, IDBI Bank actually surged about 10% as government which is looking to sell its stake over there. Maruti and M&M were in the red despite higher than estimated auto sales as well, which were have actually come in today. Apart from this, Shirish, could you also share with us how are the technicals placed at the moment? Now, after a 1,000 cut point on the Sensex and a deep cut on the Nifty as well, what are the crucial support levels and resistance levels that traders and investors must watch out for the next week then?
Right. Well, in terms of technicals, Nifty formed a long bearish candle on the daily charts. In fact, it also tested its 200 days exponential moving average, which is placed at 11,663, because the intraday low was also around about that level. At the index level, you know, it is hovering around about 200 days moving average. So some consolidation can't be ruled out in the next session. Now, remember, 200 days simple moving average is placed at 11,650 odd levels at this point in time. Now, as trend appears to be decisively turned in favor of bears, rallies can be used to create fresh short positions. That's what most technical experts are suggesting at this point in time. Now, in case if the index slips below 11,633, which is the 200 days exponential moving average, then the next logical target can be placed around about 11,342. So for the time being, traders are advised to remain neutral on the long side, whereas in the next session, shorting can be considered if Nifty trades below 11,633 levels for more than 30 minutes for a target of 11,400 with a stop above today's intraday high. So three levels to watch out for on Monday would be 11,342 on the downside, 11,633, and on the upside, 11,700 level.
Jerome Anthony also spoke to Hitesh Gajaria, co-head of tax at KPMG. Here's what Gajaria had to say about the new tax slab announcement by the finance minister.
Sir, first up, let me ask you, the finance minister indeed has given tax breaks. The thing being here is that these tax breaks are coming with a rider. What do you think is the primary difference between the old regime and the new regime?
Sure. So these new announcements are not an unalloyed gift given, you know, across the board. Basically, what the new tax regime is saying is that, first of all, it is an optional new regime. So you can either continue to remain in the old regime or you can opt to go into the new regime. But that option has one benefit. The benefit is that there is a lowering of the percentage of tax that you will pay. So today the rates are 5%, 20% and 30%. Now it goes all the way from 5% and progressively increasing by 5% up to 30%. And there are many more broadening of slabs in the new regime. Right. However, the benefit of the lower tax percentage of 5 percentage points at each slab comes in with a rider that the taxpayer does not opt for any deductions or incentives that he was opting for in the old regime.
Right.
So, for example, under Section 80C, for investment in life insurance policies, premium, or investment by way of repayment of a housing loan, or deduction under employees' provident fund, or contribution to employees' provident fund, or public provident fund, up to 150,000 rupees you could make, and you would be given a rebate from your taxes under that section.
Right.
Now, there will be no more rebate given to you from that particular section. Another example, while I still need to see the fine print, for example, I can think of a deduction under Section 80D. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for Mediclaim premiums, there was a deduction of up to 25,000 rupees that a individual taxpayer could avail for ensuring the health of himself and his dependent family and parents. Now, that perhaps, again, will no longer be available in the new regime.
Okay.
Under Section 80T, there was, for example, a deduction for bank interest up to 10,000 rupees.
Right.
Perhaps that also will be done away with if you want to opt for the new regime. And therefore, it's, as I said, a calculation that each taxpayer will have to do considering her or his own situation to see whether we want to opt for the new regime or continue under the old regime.
Right, sir. Now, let's just discuss the dividend distribution tax, which has been abolished as expected by the market. So, how would this impact investors?
Okay, so let me explain. This has a multifold effect.
Right.
This reverting to the classical system of dividend taxation. Now, what is classical system? World over, except India, dividends are only taxed in the hands of the persons receiving these dividends.
Okay.
Right? It was only in India that we had a situation where the company paying the dividend had to pay an additional dividend distribution tax. And also a few years ago, high net worth income, high income earning people were supposed to pay an additional tax in their personal hands if the dividend income in the aggregate exceeded 10 lakhs of rupees. Now, by moving to the classical system of tax, what will happen is, first of all, the companies will be relieved from paying this dividend distribution tax. However, all such dividends will now become taxable in the hands of all recipients, that is all shareholders, whether they are individuals, whether they are resident in India, whether they are non-resident in India, whether they are companies, etc.
Okay.
So actually, the burden of taxation of dividends under the classical system now shifts to the individuals.
Okay.
So now each individual will need to see what he or she is receiving by way of dividends.
Mm-hmm.
And then perhaps he or she may be either better off or worse off depending on the quantum of dividend being received.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that this sends a very positive signal to foreign investors. The reason was that foreign investors, unlike Indian investors, did not enjoy any exemption from the dividend taxation in their home countries,
okay.
At least most of the foreign investors.
Okay.
So what used to happen, the company used to pay first corporate tax,
mm-hmm.
It used to pay dividend distribution tax, and again those shareholders overseas were paying tax on those dividends received without getting a credit for the dividend distribution tax that the company had paid.
Okay.
Now this changes because now A, they are relieved because the company has no more this additional burden.
Mm-hmm.
They will definitely now come under most of India's tax treaties provide for a withholding tax between 5% to 15%.
Okay.
And most importantly, whatever is withheld as tax in India is available to them as a full credit against their taxes.
All right.
Now, from an individual perspective in India, I think this will encourage more individuals to think strategic and long term in a sense. Let's take mutual funds. That has been the flavor of the day, you know, investments into mutual funds increases day by day. Now, if you will note, there are generally two schemes, income schemes and growth schemes. If you choose to receive an income scheme, now I believe that the tax rates will change, the tax provisions will change to make such distributions from mutual funds also taxable in your hands,
okay.
As you were receiving the dividends earlier tax-free, which have now been made taxable.
Okay.
So perhaps this will encourage a move towards more growth scheme,
okay.
Because now if you choose to receive dividend from the mutual funds or distribution from the mutual fund, these will be taxed at your normal rate.
Okay.
If, however, for the long term, you keep on reinvesting as a growth fund does, and when you sell those units, eventually it might be long-term capital gains and you might be taxed lower than current taxation of your distribution from a mutual fund. So this has varied implications for different types of people. One has to carefully examine the situation to see how one is impacted.
Right, sir. What were the other benefits that she announced as far as taxes are concerned for companies?
So for companies, one of the things that she has announced, which is salutary, is this Vivad Se Vishwas scheme, which is a kind of scheme to reduce pending direct tax litigation in the country.
Right.
What it says is that basically companies would be able to, in a limited time window, and she's only given 2 months up to 31st March, if companies want to settle their tax disputes, regardless of where the dispute is open at whichever forum, if they pay the full tax, then they will not be liable for any interest or penalties.
Okay.
And be able to resolve or settle their cases. Now, you must remember that in Indian tax provisions currently, we do not have any such mechanism to sit across the table and resolve a dispute. Once it becomes a dispute,
right.
Then it has to be litigated.
Right.
Ultimately, you continue to be liable for interest and penalties if, let's say, God forbid, after 10 years, the decision goes against you in a court of law. So this is another salutary feature. Each taxpayer will need to examine And it could be individual taxpayers, it could be companies, we'll have to read the fine print, but they can choose to go for this Vivad Se Vishwas tax dispute resolution scheme.
All right, sir. Despite these being a sort of pro for the investor, for the common man, why are markets still down?
Well, markets are, I think, a bit disappointed because there was no big bang announcement on, let's say, an infrastructure, or no announcement on, let's say, two of the most difficult reforms, labor laws and, let's say, land reforms. There was really no announcement in the budget. There's always an over-expectation before the budget. Perhaps people also were a little disappointed at the way individual taxation, the old regime, the new regime, the complications.
Okay.
So there is no real relief given across the board, but it's a complex calculation. So most individuals were disappointed.
Okay.
I think that has contributed to this market's fall. But if we analyze the fine print carefully, well, one may see that this budget may not be so bad at all. And that perhaps may lead to some revival in the days ahead.
Now you'll hear Prince Thomas give his take on the top announcements made by the Finance Minister for India Inc.
So, what are the key takeaways from the budget announcements for the corporate world?
So, I think one of the concerns going to the budget was about the lack of demand in the economy. So, both in the urban and rural areas, we had seen that demand for many of the companies, be it from the FMCG companies or even the core sectors like the steel, demand for their products had gone down. And the big hope for companies was that the budget would have something for the consumers that will leave them with extra money in hand. So, looks like the budget has managed to do that. One with the changes in the income tax slabs. There's a considerable difference in the now in what people will have to pay for those earning up to 15 lakh rupees. Now, what clarity one needs to have is about the exemptions. Would it be better for someone to choose the older regime or the new regime? I think details have to be worked out. Suggestion would be to go to your accountants and, you know, check.
Right.
So, that would hopefully leave some extra cash in the hands of people and will people start spending more. A second, in the rural side also, we see that, you know, a considerable part of the budget, especially in the first half an hour, 45 minutes, was completely for the rural side. It was about doubling farmer income, easing different aspects of farming, building rural infrastructure, and many schemes on healthcare side. So this would be a boost for companies who sell in the rural markets. So this could be the FMCG companies, this could be the auto companies, because bikes sell very well in rural areas. So both in the rural and urban area, we are hoping that post the budget, there would be more cash in the hands of people. And that will really bring the positive difference in the sentiment. And people will start buying, and thus the demand will improve for the companies.
All right. So certainly we can expect more disposable income in the hands of common people.
That's right.
But if we go to the public sector units, what information do we have on in that front?
So I think the biggest news on that front is the LIC and the LIC IPO. Now, it is interesting, only in the last year in October, I think a senior official of LIC has said that there's no plans for IPO. So this was one of the surprise announcements in the budget because no one expected this coming. And one thing is that it will give a boost to the markets because LIC has thousands and thousands of crores of premium that it earns every year. So it will be interesting to see what valuation is the government looking at and how much stake the government is going to dilute. Is it 25%, which has been talked about earlier? Is it more than that or less than that? So that will really give a boost to the market. There's no doubt about that. But the question mark also is that LIC is probably the biggest jewel that the government has.
Right.
So what was the need to, take LIC to the markets? So does it mean that the fiscal deficit scenario for the government is not really rosy?
Right.
And that's why it has resorted to this? That's a question that has to be looked at. But overall, the market would get a boost from the IPO listing.
Right, because one of the major concerns was actually breaching the fiscal deficit target by the government. And it's probably one of the reasons that, as you said, LIC is going public.
Yes, that could be. And the government will also, apart from the LIC listing, I mean, we're not sure if there's a timeline to it.
Right.
If the government wants to do it in the next FY, what is the timeline? Hopefully, there will be some clarity on that. And also the other disinvestment that the government is talking about, which is Air India.
Right.
That will also hopefully bring in more interest and high bids and help meet the government, at least bridge some of that gap in the fiscal deficit.
Right, because the government target was 1.05 lakh crore for disinvestment for this fiscal.
That's right.
So, All right. In terms of another major pain point for the corporate world was the dividend distribution tax.
That's right.
And it comes as a good news that it is proposed to be abolished by the government. Your insights on that?
Yes, that was one of the things that was really on top of the priority list, or the wish list for the companies. Now, abolition of DDT means that extra money in the hands of companies. What will be the net impact of it? I think the companies will have to compute it, but it's going to be a considerable impact. And, you know, coming after a corporate tax cut last year, and now this will be a boost for companies, and they'll have much more money in their hands to invest back in the businesses. One thing to point out here is that now this is taxable in the hands of the person who's getting the dividend.
Right.
So the companies are on a better state now, and this is really a boost for them.
Another concern that actually finance minister was facing was boosting confidence in the economy and the job scenario right now. Your key takeaways from her announcement in the MSME and startup front?
Yeah. So MSMEs are really important because one, like you said, in the job front, they are huge employers, one of the biggest. And in the exports front, if you see almost at least 50% up to 80% of the exports, not 80, maybe 50% of exports is done by the MSMEs. And exports, we had discussed, has been coming down since for the last 4 or 5 consecutive months.
Right.
So it is important to address the pain points of the MSMEs. And one big thing has been the relief that they have come in the terms of audit of businesses. The budget has raised the turnover threshold for audit for businesses to rupees 5 crore, so which is a major relief. And this will ease some of the pain points the companies were having because of the GST. A lot of the companies were having problems in getting the GST credits. So that will be kind of ease right now. And for startups also, they have been changing the definition for ESOP taxation. I think that will be a big boost. And the government is also setting up a scheme that will help startups to finance their businesses from one end to the other. So that is also another, hopefully will be a big boost for startups.
Right. So some promising announcements in that front.
Yes.
But also we can't put a full stop with this budget, because we have seen in the past year also that finance minister keeps on adding to the budget announcements later in the days. So we might be expecting some more maybe additions to that.
Yeah, surely. So the budget is not the budget that it used to be, say, about 5 to 10 years ago.
Right.
Like we said, corporate tax was one of the biggest announcements for the India Inc. in the last 1 year. And that didn't come in the budget, but came out of it. So surely, as it demands, as the time comes, based on the circumstances, the finance minister could decide to have some more, you know, incentives or some more announcements later in the year.
Last but not the least, Deputy Executive Editor Ravi Krishnan sums it up. If Budget 2020 would boost sentiments and get the economy back on track.
Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has made some major announcements, some that have left the people, you know, considered thinking about what they should do next. But what do you think? Has she done anything to mitigate the slowdown?
Well, you know, Jerome, one thing I did was I did control F on the budget speech document for the word slowdown. It was not mentioned even once.
Wow.
Right. So, well, the budget has tried to do some things. For example, it has tried to boost consumption by putting more money into the hands of the people. I mean, that is the intent behind the new personal income tax regime where, you know, rates are lower if you forego exemption. But on the other hand, you know, when you look at things like allocation towards raising farmers' income and rural development, they do not match this intent. Yes, talking about investments, the government's own capital expenditure is projected to rise 18% over the revised estimates of this year. But overall, there is no fiscal stimulus coming from the government. You know, the fiscal stimulus in FY21 is just about 1/4 of what the government is doing this year. The fiscal deficit itself is 3.5% of GDP next year. There are also no measures to unclog, you know, the flow of credit to the commercial sector, which has dropped quite sharply and is a major reason for the slowdown.
Okay.
So these measures have not been addressed.
Right. Right, Ravi. But do you think the finance minister could have done anything more given the fiscal constraints?
So it was not as if there were no positive steps at all. For example, the finance minister said she would enumerate, you know, the off-balance sheet liabilities of the government. So that's a move towards more transparency. The dividend distribution tax has been abolished. So in one sense, she has tried to correct some wrongs also. There were steps for improving FDI in some sectors, such as health and education. She also wants to encourage more PPP partnerships, private-public partnerships. And there was talk about yielding more space to the private sector. That is good. But then it is also a reflection of the government not having enough money to spend on these things.
Mm-hmm.
And one should also remember that the private sector doesn't, seem to be willing to spend as of now. What could she have done? Well, troubled asset relief program like what happened in the US, where the government buys stressed assets from the NBFC sector, that could have been one step.
Okay.
Refinance windows for NBFCs, or even a bad bank would have done some good.
Okay.
But then, the budget is not the only occasion when she can do it. She could always do it later if things get worse.
Quite interesting there, Ravi. Lastly, Ravi, the finance minister has abolished the dividend distribution tax. But that doesn't seem like it was favored by investors.
Well, the dividend distribution tax on balance would seem to be bad for domestic investors, because earlier when the companies used to pay it, they would pay it 15%.
Mm-hmm.
But now, especially for people who fall in, say, the 30% tax bracket, they'll have to pay, a tax on the dividends which they receive at this higher rate. I think the markets are disappointed also because there was not much in the way of growth boosting measures. The budget was a business as usual budget. It did not acknowledge the slowdown. There doesn't seem to be focus and urgency to, boost growth in the economy over the next year. Also, from the market's point of view, the new income tax regime, it would mean fewer savings, right? Because it's aimed at more consumption. And fewer savings would mean that, less money would flow into MFs, into the insurance sector, and therefore to the markets. That is another reason. And of course, there was always this long-standing demand of doing away with long-term capital gains tax,
right,
and securities transaction tax. There was nothing there.
Right.
So because of all these reasons, I think that's why the markets reacted so sharply. We should also remember that, global markets have not been doing too well because of coronavirus and all.
Mm-hmm.
With that, it's a wrap on this exclusive podcast. If you liked our coverage of the budget, or if you have any queries, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until then, this is your host Anvita signing off. For more news, views and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you so much for listening.